You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Georgios Papadopoulos. Georgios, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to talk to you, Brainerd.
So how is it? You're in Athens. What's it like there? Just curious how it is there at the moment. The weather, the state of things, how is it there?
Well, it's quite warm. It's about 20 degrees. We had a very nice, quite warm winter. I don't know. The situation is, I don't know, maybe like people know about Athens a lot in relationship to the financial crisis. The situation seems to be stabilizing. People are getting a little bit more optimistic. And that also somehow influences the cultural scene. We see also an influx of artists from abroad, especially after Documenta, this big contemporary art exhibition that happened in Castle in Athens. So it seems to be excitement cooking up in Athens, and people are getting a little bit more optimistic about the future.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I would imagine Documenta was very exciting. I didn't see it there, but that must have been an exciting show there.
Well, on the one hand, the show itself was really interesting. Adam seems to the curator tried to put together different voices and also like different themes that on the one hand touch upon the situation in Greece, the migrant crisis, the financial crisis, but also try to inscribe everything in kind of a post-colonial critique of European cultural hegemony or Western cultural hegemony. But apart from the content of the show itself, there was a lot of excitement because Athens somehow got integrated in the global contemporary art scene. So we had an influx of artists, institutions, art lovers to experience the show, and somehow this created also some kind of the city as a cultural destination. Yeah.
Right, and what are you working on now? Let's talk about your work. What are you working on at the moment?
So, my practice has to do a lot with performance art. So, I'm currently doing two projects. I work with a group from Germany called the Rimini Protocol. They're working on what is called documentary theater. And Rimini Protocol are also very famous for somehow enacting and presenting books, like theory books. So they did a big project on Das Kapital, the Capital of Marx, and then they did also like something on Mein Kampf. I'm working with them trying to consider new ways of presenting contemporary economic theory, especially in the aftermath of the crisis. That's the one thing. And the second thing, I'm working with a group from Leningrad who are doing a show in Athens that comes up in a couple of months that is has to do with modern fables. And it's kind of a show that takes place in one of the biggest parks in Athens called Pedion του Άρεως. And again, I'm trying to tell a fable about neoliberalism, economic development, gentrification. So my whole work, let's say, somehow tries to perform economic theory and somehow enact it.
So let's go through one of those projects so listeners and I can see it a little more. There'll be images perhaps with this interview, but let's pick one of those and talk about exactly how the performance works. Is there one in particular that you want to discuss in terms of exactly how it turned out and how it was performed?
I think I would prefer to talk about the first project, about Rimini Protocol, because there I'm somehow more in control. It's like my writing, my text that are somehow being performed, even though it's kind of preliminary. So the whole idea is, on the one hand, use like modern economic discourse coming from newspaper, basically. So I'm using like the financial press and how it covered the economic crisis in Greece in the last 10 years. And I'm trying on one hand to enact it. So I'm thinking about this this text as a theater play without actors, without heroes. Or this is the one thing, like the material. And on the other hand, I'm trying to engage the audience and build a structure through which the audience will be the ones that are performing the text. So I'm more like a facilitator. I build the structure, I build the text, and then the audience is somehow reading this kind of history of the crisis with me.
So let's go through that. So you're pulling the text from the newspapers, and in that case, what was the text that you pulled exactly? If we can talk a little bit about that text and what it was addressing, and then exactly how the audience interacted with this.
So I'm using like three newspapers. I'm using the Wall Street Journal, the Financial Times, and a Greek newspaper that's called Kathmerini and has also an English edition. And I have picked important like moments in the last 10 years, something from the collapse of the Lehman Brothers and going up to the election of the re-election of the left-wing government like last September. And then I'm trying to use this kind of excerpts from the newspaper to tell a story of the financial crisis. This is, let's say, the text. So it's like pieces from newspaper articles. The whole idea is somehow to put the audience together and in a dialogue through reading this text. So I'm only like scripting and somehow directing in the sense that I'm finding the structure.
And so let's talk about this scripting. So you're saying you're pulling these texts. These sounds like they center around economic and socioeconomic issues. How is it that then scripted into a performance for an audience?
So I'm trying somehow to find different voices in this kind of text. So there is, let's say, the voice of economic science, the voice of the state and the need of the state, the voice of the people. And then I'm trying to put these three voices in a dialogue and somehow group the audience. And like, so that's one of the first things that I do. When the audience is coming, we have a random selection of, like, everybody picks a number. It's like either one, two, or three. And then we create like three groups. And these three groups represent three voices. And then depending on the group you are, you get a selection of text, and some of the people who from each group take a stance and then read one of the text. So it's kind of each group goes after the other, and then we have for each moment of the financial crisis, let's say the collapse of the Lehman Brothers, the bailout, demonstrations in Athens, government elections, we have like representatives of these three groups somehow coming and reading these different texts.
And so as voices of these three groups, they're then interacting and having a dialogue. Is that what happens before an audience?
Yeah, this is what happens. And there is also a fourth layer that so that we have like small medium reports like from CNN or from Russia Today that somehow are played in the screen in the theater, somehow punctuating the whole performance. So the whole idea is like to tell a story about the crisis, but also put the audience in a specific position to, not experience, but somehow act the crisis. And as I said, like all the texts are in English, because the whole idea of this project was it's not intended primarily or mainly for a Greek audience, but it's more about international audience. So our idea is that somehow we put people that are not necessarily familiar with the situation in the shoes of the Greek population by somehow creating this kind of.
So it makes the news and these ideas about the news and these kind of different types of crisis and other issues. It sounds like it makes them much more real in a sense, because the audience has to actually embody them, has to be part of these situations, taking on the voice.
Yeah, somehow that was our idea. And it's also like, what I would like also to say is that the kind of theater that usually Rimini Protocol is doing and what kind of theater that we are trying to put together is not a theater that has to do a lot with acting. It's much more a question of identification, of putting people in a position to somehow live a specific situation. So I think that somehow you're right, like this experience of acting and discussing and presenting this kind of situation aims at somehow putting the audience in a position to realize, to experience what's happening here in Greece or what happened the last 10 years.
And how does the audience, in the piece we're talking about, what's the title of that piece?
As I said, we're still kind of working on that. So we are in the stage that we're thinking about the structure and about the text compilation and somehow scripting it. So we don't have a title. Like I don't have, we didn't have even started the rehearsals. I'm sorry.
That's okay. And where will that be performed? Or do you know where that will be performed yet? Or that's still being decided as well?
So we're going to show it here in Greece. I'm also organizing, maybe I should say a little bit about that. I'm organizing a performance festival every year in Athens. It's called Perform Athens. It's going to happen in September. This is going to be the third edition of the festival. And we are going to open it for the first time there. And the idea is somehow to invite foreign artists that are living in Greece to be part of this first inaugural performance. And then we're thinking about Germany, of course, England. We have some contacts in Vienna, in Austria, probably France and England. So it's going to be a small European tour, hopefully. But as I said, it's kind of early now. We only know about the opening in September.
I want to talk a little bit about also how the work is, how the work makes it out into the marketplace or the art world. This is performance, and we're talking about things that are critical of different economic systems. How is the performances funded? Is it something that you can get funding for, and is it something that can be collected?
Well, the thing is that performance has always, it's kind of a very difficult field in fine arts. It's usually underfunded, especially in Greece. So the way we're doing it now is just putting a lot of effort, and then we're going to show it in Athens. And the whole idea is that we invite some curator friends from abroad, from the countries that I told you, and then they see the show, and then if they like the show, they invite it, and we get paid for it. This is the economy of it. So we don't have any state funding, or we don't have a private donors. So we just put the show, and then we showcase it in Athens, and then hopefully it's going to be invited in festivals across Europe.
I missed that a little bit. So hopefully it will be invited to be part of a festival or
other
biennial.
We have some contacts already in Germany and Austria. There is the Baltic Circle Festival in Finland, and then we're going to invite some more curators from different festivals across Europe for the whole festival, and then they're going to see the show, and then if the show is appealing or relevant to them, maybe we're going to.
And tell me a little bit about how you work with other people, because collaborate with other groups of artists. Is that what you were saying at the beginning of the interview? This one sounds like this is your project that obviously you work with other people in, but you also collaborate with other artist groups in different countries. Is that true?
Yeah, we have a network of artists that often come to our festival in Athens, and like the project that I'm describing is a part of a research and workshop that I'm doing with Daniel Vettel from Rimini Protocol, as I suggested before. What I said, and maybe create a little bit of misunderstanding, is that the audience, the piece doesn't have actors. So we have the script, we have the structure, and then we invite the audience to perform the piece. Exactly, because the piece is in English and is somehow much more intended for a foreign audience. For our premiere in Athens, we're going to try to have a selection of foreign people who live in Athens, so especially artists who somehow are going to enact this kind of piece. So it's like the only real corroboration that supports this piece has to do with Daniel Vettel from Rimini Protocol, that helps me to do the research and put together the show.
I see. So, so it's exciting what's happening in the sense that this is, you know, you're working with issues that are directly impacting the audience. How does the audience typically react? I would think in some cases it could be something that would generate a lot of emotion. You know, we're in a world that's increasingly difficult to survive in many ways. How does the audience react to some of these? Can you tell me about any incidences when it's furthered dialogue or seemed particularly educational or even incited a kind of emotion from people?
So my whole practice has to do with performing economic theory. I've done other shows, or I've presented questions about precarity or crisis or even struggles against the economic austerity in different contexts. And as you rightly pointed out, this creates a lot of reactions, especially like in Europe when you move around in different countries who play a different role in this kind of drama of economic crisis. I've worked a lot in Germany, and there is a lot of interest and a lot of compassion towards the situation in Greece, because their money is not also a little bit responsible for the austerity that takes place in Europe. But there is a lot of criticism. Often people confront me with stereotypes against Greece, with critique against the situation in the country, the fact that the government has been so incompetent, or there are a lot of people who somehow reproduce the stereotypes in the media. They say that Greek people are lazy, what is happening to them, they deserve it, or other people are very supportive and compassionate, such as, oh, yeah, well, Germany has been so bad, or the European Union has been so bad and so efficient with its policies. So these issues, of course, create a lot of attention, a lot of dialogue, a lot of critique sometimes, and the emotions run high, even though it's just economics.
And before I ask you the last question about what you're reading, is there anything else you want to say about the work that's coming up, or something that I should have asked that you'd like to comment on before I ask the last question?
So in the project that I described, I talked about a text that is comprised from media reports, but I'm really writing a lot in the field of economics. I've written a couple of books on money, on the theory of money, and also like how money manages and addresses human desire. So often I'm also like presenting my own writings on economic theory or on economic issues. So I have this kind of double identity, both as a writer and as a performance artist.
And the writing you said was about how money informs and creates, you're talking about human desire, is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. So So this work has to do a lot of, or the starting point comes from psychoanalysis, and there is this whole idea of the construction of the subjectivity in the marketplace. So how we learn to value things, and how this process of valuation shapes also our desires. So this idea of, it's kind of this reversal. We think that commodities are worth more or have a higher price because they are more valuable, but often there is this kind of an opposite relationship. We learn to value things more because they have a higher price. And this is, there's a whole kind of structuralist and kind of psychoanalytic story behind that. And I work very much on this field also, like through visual art or through performance, trying to consider how desire is expressed and managed in the marketplace.
Well, thank you for that. I really enjoyed hearing about this today, and wish you luck on your next performance and writing, of course. Before we go, I wanted to ask you what you're reading at the moment. I ask everyone, just curious, what book or books you're interested in or reading at the moment.
Well, obviously there are many things that are somehow related with my work, but probably what is more interesting is that I went back to William Gibson after many years, and I'm reading his second trilogy now. And actually, it's the last part of the trilogy. It's called The All Tomorrow's Parties, and it's a very interesting book because it plays in San Francisco, so people in the States may can associate it with that. And the San Francisco Bridge has partly collapsed because of an earthquake, and it's now occupied, and it's kind of an autonomous zone. And the whole book is played around this kind of autonomous zone on the San Francisco Bridge. It's a very interesting book, and it's also like written about 20 years ago. I think it was 1998 was published, and it still sounds very, very relevant and very, very topical.
Georgios, I want to thank you for talking with me today. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.